Welcome to Everybody Loves Reagan, the officially unofficial podcast for the Americans on FX. I'm Jim.
And I'm Agent Aaron.
And today we're talking about Season 3, Episode 3, titled Open House. I thought this was a pretty tense and entertaining episode. How about you?
Yeah, between the dental work and the low-speed, high-stakes car chase.
Yeah.
Pretty good. The spycraft is amazing. For almost unbelievable. Like, there was a couple points in the car chase where I was not sure that the Russians would have that kind of capability at that kind of moment's notice.
Especially since they're working out of a Jazzercise studio now.
Yeah, that has to be some kind of hastily built thing. I mean, the Russians of the Americans are a frightening level of... Maybe that's one of the threads, is like, with an open and free society, such that the United States of America circa 1980s were, to whatever, you know, extent you want to debate that.
Take that as you will.
It's a lot harder to maintain, you know, anti-espionage capabilities when you're fighting with, you know, an arm behind your back than it is over in Russia, where, you know, you don't need to worry about people's civil. You can just you can just go snatch them.
Stop people in the streets, demand their papers, that kind of shit.
Yep, sure. Take them and do all kinds of things, threaten their family. I don't know. It's interesting. It was an interesting episode.
Not a lot of plot movement, though, I think. You know, they're kind of treading water with Paige, and they have been for this entire season, really.
Do you think that, because I think this was the Bowman's theory on our forums, that the ending of the tooth problem is going to signal some sort of resolution or this problem coming to a head with Philip and Elizabeth?
It could. I said, you know, last episode that that was kind of one of the things that was bothering Elizabeth was both her tooth, which signified, you know, her problems she was having with Paige and Philip and everything. So, yeah, I could see that happening. Maybe next episode we get a little, at least a little bit of movement on that. It seems like they've been debating it for a while now.
Sure, sure.
There was some other movement, though. There was some moving of letters around the board.
Letters around the board? Oh,
yeah. Sure. Yeah, popular game. You want to talk about... I can tell you're eager to talk about who made this episode happen.
Am I?
You are. To do it, yeah.
Okay.
That's your thing, man. You are all about it.
Okay, well, it was directed by Thomas Chalamet, who is a multiple Primetime Emmy Award-winning director who is a frequent collaborator with Aaron Sorkin. He's directed, like you would expect, a lot of stuff like Sorkin specialties like Sunset 60 on the Studio Strip and The West Wing, Sports Night. But he's also, of late, episodes of NBC's failed Mad Men knockoff Pan Am. And... some episodes of The Americans. So he also was, this episode is written by Stu Zuckerman, I think, who has also written two episodes of The Americans this year. One that has aired, or Yusuf, which has already aired. Actually, that was last year. And this one, he also wrote a few episodes of the failed FX boxer show Lights Out, which I've always wanted. It's only a single episode, a single season, but I like that subject matter and I've heard really good things about it. One of these things, when I catch up on all the other stuff I want to watch, I want to enjoy that.
Yeah.
So had a nice professional outing. Seppenwall actually was able to visit the set during the filming of the dental scene and then immediately interviewed Kerry Russell, which must have been pretty cool.
Yeah.
To see all that happen. And I guess the American sets are really cool. Like, that's the laundry room set where they do all their spycraft.
Yep.
Their domestic spycraft.
Secret spycraft stuff. Yeah.
Sure.
All right.
You know, you say that there's not a lot of plot movement this episode, but I don't know. I mean, they're increasingly desperate trying to figure out how to get in on the CIA because, you know, they've now got these list of contacts and they're trying to find out who they can apply pressure to. Doesn't seem like there's a lot. Seemed like they were kind of grasping at straws, people with financial problems and whatnot. But they kind of ended up with a twofer at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
Where it turns out the guy who's got money problems, who's trying to sell his house, has a babysitter, a teenage babysitter that has an inappropriate attraction to him, perhaps a fatal attraction. And she is the daughter of the director of the CIA program, overseeing the operations in Afghanistan.
Yep. Blackmail material, I think.
All around for everybody. Do you think we are going to see Philip get to seduce a 16-year-old girl in this episode?
Oh, God. I say get
like it's some kind of...
Yes. Philip, the moment I've been waiting for.
It's like...
let me put on my Letterman's jacket and move into action.
Do you think we're... I mean, it seems like there is a lot of scary things in this season that directly are influencing Philip and Elizabeth's decision, whether they make one or not, about to or whether to allow Paige to kind of get into the family business.
Sure.
And, you know, here we're you're introduced to the concept of 16-year-old girl who can be used as blackmail material. You know, is her father going to be tasked with seducing this girl? What does that even mean? Is that something you do for your country? I'm supposing it would. You would.
If they're going around killing people, I don't know why they wouldn't. Frankly,
why does that feel wrong, more wrong than murdering adults?
I don't know. It should.
Is it the age of consent thing?
No one consents to being murdered.
Well, right? You got me there, man.
I mean, some people do, but it's few and far between.
I think you're right. Outside of if you're a patient of Dr. Kevorkian, outside of that, it's probably few and far between.
Yeah, that should certainly not be more of an ethical dilemma than murdering people.
I don't know. Where do you kind of want to dig into this episode?
There's movement there, on that plot line, but I mean, they've been kind of chasing the CIA, right? I mean, that's not like anything new. Yeah. It's a new development in that plot. And that's fine. It feels like small movement there. It feels like small movement around, Oleg stuff, like very, very small though. I mean, I it's kind of almost a setup for something else.
But it was surprising because we talked about how I think RKD respects Oleg more than he certainly did at the outset of season two.
Oh yeah.
Here he's putting his neck on the line. He's saying, sure, I am going to defy a direct order that your father's behind, who has the ear of one of the high Communist Party members. And I'm going to, if you want me to defy this, if you want to stay here instead of being recalled home, because Igor, the guy we met last week, apparently is trying to recall him to the United States or to the USSR. To what end? Do you think that Oleg, is this?
I'm worried.
Is this kind of like furthering our suspicion that he is under suspicion? Or is it his father trying to preemptively get a hold on that? Is his father wanting him back home so he can smack around? Like, why are you making these waves about a criminal, about a traitor? What's going on?
It could be that. It could also be him trying to get his son out of harm's way. Like, maybe he knows about Tatiana, is kind of there to investigate Oleg. Maybe he's trying to prevent that from leading anywhere. I don't know. It could also be that he's coming back because he's in trouble for that shit, you know?
Right.
And they want to Nina him.
RKD, no matter what he does, if he defies this, he's going to be fucked.
Oh, yeah. That feeds right into our theory that this might be the last season for RKD. He might kick it this time.
Yeah, I don't know. It's bold. I didn't expect, because I didn't know that he had gone from admiration and respect to, I'm going to put potentially my political career... Mm-hmm. Am I comfortable living at stake for you?
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to know how much of this is... I don't know, because I expected Oleg to go back. I expected Oleg to say, yeah, I want to go back and I want to try to find Nina and try to get her out of there.
Well, I thought so too, because that would be a good entry point to get kind of Nina back into things, because then they could kind of be off in the USSR.
And they could do like internal spy shit in Russia,
We could also start seeing what life's like on the other side. Oleg navigating those corridors of power and kind of widen up the plot.
Yeah.
Compared to a lot of the television shows we cover, this cast is almost like neat and trim and tidy. Like,
sure,
there's like a half dozen important people you got to get track of, and maybe another half dozen on top of that.
And half a dozen of them die every season.
Sure,
so.
There's a lot of churn.
Yeah, it, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to say, you know, that would have been better than the way they're going to go, because I don't know where they're going to go with this, but it did surprise me a little bit with kind of the headcanon I had built.
Let's talk about Philip and Elizabeth and his page decision. There was a lot of themes about children and giving them and having too much materialism. They open with the Scrabble scene with Gabriel, but then they go into Hans's continuing field training, mm-hmm. where they talked swapped a lot of Marxist philosophy about, you know, if you have involved too much production of useless things, it results in a production of too many useless people. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to live life without, you can live life without wants, but you can't live without needs. When they were at the open house, the realtor said, boy, it's just so hard not to buy your kids everything they want. Mm-hmm. Philip and Elizabeth debate about whether buying a necklace would be, and a 10 speed would be too much. How does this affect their debate about Paige? Because the other thing we found out is Elizabeth's gone behind his back to Gabriel to discuss Paige, which really pissed off Philip.
And Philip kind of did the same thing to her.
Sure. But I think he did that as a response to, because he realized, yeah. Gabriel was doing it as a response to Elizabeth giving private concerns to him. So sure. He was super butthurt and upset about it.
Yeah, I'm curious. It seems like Elizabeth is starting to realize that she is making her daughter more American, more sympathetic towards the Americans.
Why is that?
Because she's living a life as an American, you know, with plenty of bullshit that she can buy her, and she's just got too much, she feels. Like I can see her kind of wanting to rein that in at this point and start trying to transition her to a life where she understands the Russians more than the Americans. That's what it felt like to me. And Philip's just like, no, I want my daughter to have this easy life. This is
right.
What everybody wants for their child.
Yeah. And I really like how, you know, last season Paige is kind of a mess or a thorn in their side, you know, prying in and kind of getting closer and closer. They backed off on this.
Oh, way back. Yeah.
But what Paige doesn't know that Philip Elizabeth obviously acutely aware of is she's now kind of being groomed for spy work. And now her father and mother are concerned with her in a whole different light. But Paige, as far as she knows, they're still concerned about all of her sketchy stuff from last year. So she's like, Mom, Dad, you don't have to worry about me. And Philip's like, you don't know shit, kid. I like that. They do a really good job in the show playing with the duality of their lives and how this affects their relationship with their friends and family and neighbors. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. I also like that Paige is watching Fantasy Island. We talked about childhood shows were important to us. Fantasy Island was always that tantalizing adult show that I could almost understand what was going on. And my mom and dad made me, you know, it's like kind of sometimes I'd see glimpses of it. Most of the time I'd be putting off the bed. It was slightly too old. I liked that a lot. Plus it had Khan in it.
Is that Herb Villachez?
The plane boss. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that was way before my time.
Let's talk about the other member of the Elizabeth and what is their last names?
Jennings.
Yeah. The other Jennings family member, Henry.
Henry, yeah. He's caught with a picture of the neighbor, Mrs. Beeman.
Henry is perving on Miss Beeman.
Yep. Yep. I wonder how he got that picture. Did he break into their house, probably?
Oh.
Steal the picture out of a frame?
Oh, you know what? That would be interesting if he's become a total creep. That his mom and dad be gone all the time, and his fairly light punishment over the video game thing, and his protestations of his being a good person have turned him to just a super perv. So hey, he's now breaking in. He's gonna be stealing her under. Of course, he can't do that now. She moved out.
Yeah,
she moved out.
Yep.
But that was interesting and went nowhere. Do you think that's going to come back and be significant later, or is that just something weird going on with Henry?
Yeah, I think they're setting up something for Henry, because Henry's been a non-entity since the break-in.
Yeah, and even that was
just random. I don't know what they're trying to say about Henry with all these, you know, what could be considered deviant behaviors, but are not for a child.
Sure.
I'm not sure what they're trying to say with Henry there.
Yeah, Henry's starting to come off. I mean, as interested as I am in what's going on with Paige, Henry, they're not doing as well as a good a job. I mean, he's coming across very Chris from Homeland. You know, like Dana, like she was super annoying, and Paige doesn't have that problem. But Chris was just some dude in the background that could occasionally get trotted out to have, you know, some father-son's conflict between Brody's best friend. But he never became a real character.
Okay.
And I feel like Henry is starting to become that, because whenever they give him a B plot, it's always about him doing something weird and creepy and deviant.
Maybe they're setting us up for something bigger. I don't know. But yeah, you're right. He's nothing at this point to me in this show.
Speaking of children and their parents' relationships, what did you make of Martha and is it Clark? Is his under his married life undercover guy? Mm-hmm. What did you think make of their conversations about a foster care child? This can't go anywhere, right?
No, it certainly can't. I mean, unless Philip really wants to be a dick and just leave her with a foster child when he
You have to do paperwork. You can't just like...
That's true.
You can't just stop by. It's not like the fucking Pound where, you know, you pay $25 and there's shots and you just walk home with the kid. You have to put in paperwork. There's background checks. I
imagine
he
would play that off as like, oh, well, we're secretly married. We certainly can't secretly have a child, so you can get a child.
This
but no, he doesn't want to. I mean, that's smart.
Yeah, no, but he also seemed like he was letting her win the battle at the end, and I'm like, where is this going? Because I don't know. I mean, I feel like Martha, and poor Martha, my God.
When she finds out, man.
I think she's going to jail, man. She's going to go down in flames as a traitor, is where this is all heading, which is just unbelievably cruel.
She could.
Let's see.
She's being like courted now by Agent Tyson.
Yeah, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Sure. Because again, she's secretly married, which is such a bizarre subplot. But yeah, he's got apparently he's got the hots for her.
I think so. I don't think he's on to her stealing any files. I think he's just wanting to swoop in and get a date.
But that was the thing, because like this fucking filing robot is becoming more and more a disaster in each passing episode. Like it's now just, I feel like the next episode it's going to be like running through the offices, just, you know, paper coming out the top, like it's coming out of some kind of device, just paper ejecting device. It's spilling contents on the floor. Maybe Martha doesn't get fingered for this, because my God, this, like, if you want to try and execute someone, you need to do this robot. You know?
Yeah, I don't know what's
Johnny,
going on.
Put Johnny Five up on trial. take him down to Fort Leavenworth, or you know, have him do hard time. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to go.
But I thought it was interesting with some of the things that Philip was saying to Martha in protesting about doing a foster, like, oh, what, he just like having kids, like leasing a car. Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting because his children are a product of a sham loveless marriage, and their kids always take second fiddle to whatever Elizabeth and himself are doing.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I feel sometimes I wonder if Clark is Philip expressing his real views on how that they're using their children and his regrets and wanting to avoid that.
Could be.
I don't know. Could
be. Yeah, I don't know what the additional layers are there. And I'm not, like, he hasn't gotten a lot of information from Martha lately, right?
Right.
He seems to just be maintaining that kind of in stasis, waiting for the next use of Martha.
Yeah, I thought that they... I don't know. I thought, well, I don't know. I mean, when he was doing that paperwork for all the CIA contacts, she helps him with that, though, right?
Does she?
I mean, I thought that was the whole deal, that she's, you know, gets files and secure stuff from him. I don't know. Because she kind of went all in when he played that tape of Agent Gad.
Saying, oh, she's ugly, but yeah, a bag
she's
on her head.
She's a five bagger, six bottles of scotch kind of woman.
Bottles. Wow.
The FBI, because we speculated last week about how intense this FBI kind of manhunt for the dentistry would be.
Oh, yeah.
And we're like, well, you know, maybe you could go a couple hours outside of DC. Their dragnet goes as far as Buffalo, New York.
At least.
Which is nearly a 7-hour drive. And my mind was boggling about how many women approximately in the age range they probably given and this and her height and build and all that kind of stuff. Like, this guy was complaining about getting 5 hits. I would be surprised if you would not get like 20, 30, 40 hits a day that you'd have to investigate.
Yeah.
There's a fucking lot of dentist visit, dentist office within a 7-hour radius of DC, even if you account the fact that a lot of that radius is out in the goddamn ocean. Mm-hmm. Like hundreds and hundreds.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if their search is narrow enough as far as what they want reported, maybe you narrow it down to that many. You know, just like, oh, the injury has to be this severe. They've got to be this build, got to be female. I maybe see it narrowing down that much. I don't know.
The thing that I thought is interesting is like Philip, when he's talking to Gabriel about, you know, how risky they should run this operation to go to the guy's open house.
Yeah.
You know, they're talking about like, look, they can't have everyone on. They don't have the resources. Like, even if they had like their A team on it, you're talking about 6 cars, blah, blah, blah. Well, then we find out behind the FBI CIA operations, there's like double that.
Yeah, they have 11 cars on Elizabeth.
That it seems like the Russians are maybe underestimating the amount of counterintelligence.
I think so. And also, I noticed some cracks in the Russian operation here. Like, people are disobeying orders directly. Arcady is disobeying. True. Philip and Elizabeth are disobeying.
Yeah, because Gabriel told them you cannot afford a physical drive-by on this thing.
Yeah, and they do it anyway.
And not only that, but I mean, yeah. And
I get the impression that their operation is not run nearly as well as the Americans at this point.
Well, not only that, but like maybe the tide has turned because that the damage done by the captain, the Navy SEAL captain last year, where he basically dismantled their cell and they built it back up in the Jazzercise studio. And they still have a lot of capability, but that stuff is, you know, let's talk about that. This car chase was so damn tense in a way that like shit in the Fast and Furious and a Bourne Identity aren't.
Yeah.
With all the squealing tires. This is a low speed residential area cat and mouse game. Philip tucking and rolling outside of a corner
right on the pavement right between cars. It was
and then the Russians are able to, I guess they have pre-planned points where they have like forces ready to go to like toss walkie-talkies and cars and to arrange a car crash distraction like that. And the fact that Elizabeth just essentially lost her car, right?
Yeah, she got out of it and
she
left.
She wiped it down with fingerprints and then bailed. That, I mean, how many times can you do that before you can't do it anymore? How many cars can you buy and be able to replace? And I don't know. I feel like that Philip and Elizabeth are in danger in a way that they've never been on the show before.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Caught. The only time I felt this tense was when they were following Elizabeth down the street in the opener.
Which was just 2 episodes ago.
I know. I mean, there have been other tense moments, but this was something on another level, I felt.
And I like the tension between the CIA and the FBI, because the CIA is just wanting to basically tail and track these guys and seeing where it goes, where the FBI is wanting to snatch and grab.
Yeah.
It clearly, the show wants us to feel sympathetic towards the FBI agents. Do you feel like that's... Do you feel like one thing... I'm going to stop asking leading questions. I feel like that... Unless the series is going to abruptly end, that the FBI is going to have a little bit of comeuppance, that they're going to overplay their hand because of frustration of dealing with the CIA, and it's going to blow up in their face, and that's going to be how Philip and Elizabeth live to fight another season.
I could see that.
I mean, twice in 3 episodes, they've had them almost dead to rights.
Yeah.
And coincidentally, it's always been Elizabeth the one that's going to be taking the fall.
Sure. Yeah,
she happened to be the one driving this episode. So Philip bailed and she, I mean, what happens if the FBI pull her over and detain her? What does Philip do?
I mean, Stan immediately recognizes her. So Philip has to grab the kids and run.
Does he flee? Does he just take off alone and let the kids fend for themselves? That he'd be like, well, Mommy and Daddy are traitors, and we're going to be arrested now.
I love you very much. He tries to pull the impromptu vacation again.
Uh-huh.
They end up in some shitty motel. Daddy goes off on a mission. They're stuck, you know, with no video games and just bored.
Well, I thought that was kind of funny that when, you know, Philip kind of has that blow up at Gabriel about like, God damn it, my daughter's going to have a choice. She's only 16. And he fought like, you know, Gabriel calls him. Was like, hey, I'm sorry things went down that way. We want to send you to one of these local amusement parks and put you up at a real nice hotel adjacent to the property.
Uh-huh.
You know, so you and your family can blow off steam. It'll be great.
Yep.
And
be sure to bring the kids.
Yeah, Paige is the one that walks in and her family's murdered and she's the one screaming.
Yeah. And there's a Scrabble board next to him or something. I don't know.
Phlox.
Stygian. Of or related to the band Styx.
Yeah, Gabriel's a hella good or maybe I just suck at Scrabble, but man, like that's a lot of X's and Y's and
yeah. He's
double
he's good
word
at
scores
it.
And seven word scores. That's the other thing.
I mean the dreaded, you know, the ultimate threat of a misguided Scrabble challenge. Like he lays down the gauntlet there. He's like, well, here's a dictionary if you don't believe me.
Okay, so let's talk about the tooth situation.
Okay.
Last week we talked about how that was one of the most disturbing scenes that we've seen in recent television history. Just judging from your visible reaction, you had a lot of problem with this. Like, you couldn't even look at the screen.
No, I mean, I was looking at the screen, but I was like, ooh, no, I don't want any part of that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's one of those things that squicks me out. Any kind of like
dental pain?
Dental pain is bad pain. Yeah.
I can't watch the scene in like Marathon Man where it's like, is it secret? Is it safe? And he's working on, you haven't seen that?
No.
Oh, don't.
Don't. Okay.
but this didn't bother me for some reason.
No.
And I think it's because somehow Elizabeth was just handling it really well.
She did.
Like, she was keeping very still, and she was going, ha, 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 ha. No, but that's kind of like me when I'm getting my teeth cleaned. Like, I didn't see, like, the wide-eyed bulging, you know. I don't know.
No Wilhelm screams or anything?
No, none of that.
Yeah.
And it was interesting they went with, like, no dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, you know, several minutes of them looking at each other's face. It was very... the Carrie Russell mentioned that it was a very intimate scene that they call it this episode sex scene.
Sure.
Because it's husband and wife and there's this trust and there's intimacy and, you know, he's sticking instruments into her mouth.
Okay.
He's breaking off pieces of her tooth. That, I guess that was the only part that made me wince a bit when he broke the tooth and then he had to go back in on it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's bad news, man. I don't like mouth pain. I had to put me under for my wisdom teeth because.
Right.
Not going to do it.
So that's so do you think she's going to have to get some dental work done eventually, or is that tooth so far back that it's not, people aren't going to notice it missing?
I don't think they'll notice it missing. I think it was pretty far back there, but I got to wonder if that's the only injury. Like, how do you break a tooth and have your whole face swell up and not have any injury to your jaw?
Yeah, the other thing is the way she was acting in the previous episodes is it felt like one of her like canines or something was bothering her.
Oh.
And now she said it was all like this lower pain tension. They end up pulling what looked like a molar from her lower jaw out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You had a theory that she had like a broken jaw. And I'm like, no, I don't think she had a broken jaw or anything.
No, you're right. Not
structural skull fracturing.
Not if she's not wincing noticeably when she talks.
Is this tooth thing done? Are we done with the tooth thing? Is there going to be more dentistry?
If they come back and they make a decision on Paige, I think we are done with the tooth thing.
Okay. We did see the 2 o'clock in the morning station sign off, which I don't think you knew was a thing.
No, the national anthem playing.
Yeah.
Like, I guess that's to sign out channels. Like, we're going off for the night. We'll be back at 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. or whatever.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
I was just starting to stay up late as a teenager when they kind of... went to different things of doing this, but as I recall, I almost want to say that all the local stations kind of did the same thing. Like there was this patriotic package with lots of flags and lots of bald eagles and lots of Purple Mountain Majesty with the national anthem, and then you had the test pattern, and then you had static.
Huh.
Until it came time to broadcast again.
Weird.
Other interesting thing is Stan is talking to Agent Neil deGrasse Tyson. And Agent Tyson was really interested in his background, you know, because he's a black man. And he was interested in this deep cover operation he did with the white supremacists. Clearly impressed that he was able to, you know, embed and obviously do damage to that network. And wanted to know how it was that he was able to fool them. And he says, I just told them what they wanted to hear over and over and over again. And then we had the contrast of that scene with him thoughtfully looking at the defector, the one he's assigned to protect, on national television saying, oh, yes, we didn't have bread and there was no freedom of press or religion, no personal freedom. And it's terrible. This is something that she's literally said over and over and over again in these last few episodes. Are we supposed to think that she is not to be trusted? Or, of course, we know it doesn't take much for Stan to not trust someone.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, we also know that every one of his suspicions, even the ones he thinks are silly, have been proven to be correct.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not sure what harm. So maybe she's kind of just starting out with some stuff that they want to hear, and then she's going to try to get information later. But
that's the thing.
The
stuff she's
saying now can't have any possible benefit for Russia.
Right.
Because all she's saying is it's a fucking horrible place.
Do you think that this is going to be the inverse of what we've seen before, where he has a suspicion that he takes seriously and acts on, and it turns out it's because we know from the Residentura side that they are concerned about this woman spouting propaganda.
Yeah.
So she's either, which I guess wouldn't surprise me, she's either so deep undercover that they don't know anything about it, or maybe Stan is just wrong and he's going to burn the inverse of the garage scene, where he was ultimately right, he just was a little too late or the timing wasn't there, Philip and Elizabeth were just too good.
Yeah.
This could be the inverse of that, where he's just wrong and he burns a valuable asset because of his hunch and suspicion.
And then he gets fired and he's even more of a sad sack.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
Sitting at home eating Cheetos for the rest of the series. That's how I want my Stan.
Yeah.
More boring than he is already.
Yeah. I don't know. What else do we need to talk about? There is the kind of thickening of the plot or more detail that they've been trying to chase down the stealth technology, which I think they were looking at the stealth fighter.
Okay.
Which is kind of a misnomer because the stealth fighter was actually a ground bomber as well. But now they're talking about Northrop Grumman, which, of course, is the big stealth bomber, the big boomerang-shaped thing that, is the more modern bomber.
Okay.
They've got two irons in the fire. They've got the stealth project and the CIA Afghanistan operation. Anything there? Because there's 9 new clearances that got handed off. Is that something that Philip and Elizabeth are going to be all over?
Yeah, I think so. You know, they were part of that already. So okay. I think springing them back into action on that makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
And I'm frankly glad. I really enjoyed the stealth stuff last season.
Sure.
So I'm glad that plot is back and it's kind of a big part of the Cold War as well. So that will be interesting to see play out.
All right. Well, I'm really up in the air in the season because I'm really not sure what the main threat's going to be. I don't know how long they can keep teasing this very dangerous situation between Philip and Elizabeth and the FBI. Like, if they keep ratcheting up that something has to give or this is going to be a short-lived series, right?
Yeah. I mean, you can't... Well, I don't think you could have Philip or Elizabeth die.
Yeah.
That would be maybe too much for the show to bear, I think. I wonder if you could have Stan die, though, if they're setting up some of these other agents as bigger pieces in that puzzle because of that.
Or Gad. I think that the way the show looks at
Gad.
It. Yeah, I think that they would see John Boy as more expendable.
They're going to move Stan into Gad's position.
That would be an interesting way to proceed.
He can get his nose broken.
Yeah, kind of like what they eventually did with Hank, where he got moved higher and higher up in the DEA chains. We got to see more and more of that kind of side of things working.
Yeah.
That could be cool, because anything they could do to make him more interesting would be okay in my book.
I think they got to start making some movement with Paige. I'm getting a little impatient, just like I did last season. Huh. Last season, they hit me with a bunch of Paige stuff right off the bat. I said... You know, I'm kind of tired of this Paige stuff. It doesn't seem to be going very far.
I just don't know what that looks like.
And then they backed off of it for a few episodes.
I don't know what movement with Paige looks like.
I know. It seems to be at an ultimatum point, right?
Philip and Elizabeth making a decision internally? Because that's not really... I mean, I guess that's movement, but...
She has to be more officially groomed, I think. Like, she has to... There needs to be something that happens where she is either given the choice or... A choice is made for her and pieces go into motion there. I just don't think you can keep doing this thing of, you know, Elizabeth and Philip arguing about who's right and whether they're going to bring her in or not.
Okay.
I've seen that for three episodes now. I'm good on that.
Okay. Yeah, because there's nothing kind of new that's happening, too. And they've been kind of quiet about the religious stuff.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I've often wondered if it would be interesting if... when the series hits kind of its finale mode, if they decide to put Philip and Elizabeth against each other, what is that thing with Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt?
Mr. and Mrs. Smith, yeah.
It'd be interesting to see a whole final season where one of them has decided they're going to defect. Probably it's going to be Philip.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's not going to tell Elizabeth, and he's trying to plan surreptitiously to get all of his kids and all that, and whether Paige is in on it, and if Paige finds out in the middle of it, that would be an interesting kind of like swan song for the series.
Sure.
I don't feel like they're planning that yet.
No, doesn't seem like it.
All right, that's all I've got. Anything you want to cover?
No, do we have any feedback?
We do have feedback. Let's pay some bills first.
Okay.
There's lots of ways you can support Bald Move. You can find all of them at support.baldmove.com. And the reality is we really need and would appreciate your support, because we wouldn't be doing The Americans at all if it wasn't for the fact we're doing this full time. We wouldn't be doing this full time if it wasn't for the generosity of people like yourself, the person listening to this podcast right now. So one thing I want to continue to highlight is the Amazon affiliate link, because it's so easy. It's so easy. If you're buying stuff on there anyway, use amazon.baldmove.com instead of your just plain old boring Amazon link. And you are supporting an underground cell of podcasters talking shit about the Americans on FX.
You wouldn't believe the number of cars we have to ditch.
It's expensive.
It gets expensive.
It's expensive. Tradecraft is not cheap. It is absolutely not. And, you know, we need to be kept in 80s cars, wigs and disguises. So
we also have to be bailed out of jail.
That's not cheap either. The legal fees. It's a real thing. You can help us defray those costs by using our Amazon link at amazon.baldmove.com. Let's get the feedback. Tom G in West Virginia says, "Comrades, The Americans on FX is like a proverb from Mother Russia." I'm going to butcher this because it's Russian.
Going to give it a Russian accent.
Nya veskogo mudreska dovolnyo prostovtya, I guess. Which translates in, "For each wise man, there are plenty of fools. Why not too many Americans watch The Americans on FX?" Wonders Tomislav as he goes in his Russian guise.
Ah, yes. Tomislav in WV.
Yeah.
He finally figured out a way for us to say the initials in the correct order.
Yeah.
Like, kudos to you.
My brain could only handle transposing those and speaking Russian, one or the other. I had to choose. Liz G adds in, said, "I recall reading a couple of articles about FX wanting to be the best channel, not the highest rated channel, and that the CEO of FX thought that The Americans could go for 5 seasons.
Cool.
So... I don't know. I mean, the counterpoint of that is The Bridge. So, like, there is a floor. I mean, because I don't think The Bridge was a bad show. But there is definitely a floor for which that they will not abide ratings dropping below. The good news is The Americans kind of stabilized. They dipped to 0.9 million viewers. They're up to, like, 1.1 million this week. If I think they can stay above that million mark, that we're going to be in good shape. She says, "Do you think that Philip and Elizabeth nearly got caught because the FBI knew the guy having the open house was having money problems and the FBI is watching him? Gabriel knew the guy was vulnerable, so I'm sure the FBI did too. How do you else to explain Paul, Philip and Elizabeth being followed?" That's exactly how you explain it.
Yeah. So they went in, they were following the guy. They had, they were trying to get info out of the CIA guy.
It wasn't just that they went to the open house.
No.
It's they went to the open house and then started tailing this guy. Yes. Which, and if you know, look at that set group of everyone that attended the open house and then followed the guy who's there, that...
It's very easy to tell who's actually following him.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, especially when they don't have 11 cars backing them up and, you know, not tagging in and out. And
sure. She then continues, looks like Martha now has two strikes against her now, the gun she's bought and the child she wants to foster. As she sat on Clark's lap, I thought he could snap her neck right now. This is turning into like How I Married an Axe Murderer. Uh-huh. You know, a conversation. She's like, do you realize it's how easy it would be for me to kill you? You know, it's like, there's so much trust and you sleep beside me. It's like, yeah. I was like, yeah. And this show makes you look at your intimate relationships in a very different way. Huh. She says, it's hard to imagine Martha surviving this season. I don't know how solid Clark's history is on paper. Will he have issues if there's a background check done for them? To foster or adopt a child. Clark will not want to deal with any or all of that. I agree. I don't think there's any way he could go through with the fostering of this. But on the other hand, if Martha goes down, like I don't see how she goes to prison and isn't able to, doesn't have pictures of Clark, isn't able to describe Clark.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I thought maybe she'd go to prison, but it sounds like now that I'm thinking about it, she's got to die.
Yeah, I have other... There are some weird things in their relationship, right? Like, so she knows that he wears a toupee.
Yeah.
He never takes the toupee off.
He's a never like, nude when it comes to his scalp.
Does he shower in the toupee? Like, because if he took that wig off, his normal hair would be under there and she would see he's not bald.
Never nude. He just tells her, I'm a never nude when it comes to my scalp.
Huh.
I cannot be seen.
Can you even put a wig through a shower and have it be okay? Like real human hair, you probably could, but 80s?
Based on my experience with this thing, no, this is not going to happen. This is not going to survive a showering.
Yeah, so that seems weird between them. And then, like, you know, him constantly disappearing for days and days is explained, but it's got to be stretching her credibility at this point.
She agrees with us, well, at least to me, about the defector might not be who she claims to be.
Mm-hmm.
Although, again, I've kind of judoed that and thinking that maybe that's going to be Stan's overreach. I don't know. And she says, the tooth pull is such an intimate scene between Philip and Elizabeth. It was beautiful once I was able to watch it. The tenderness between them at such a horrific moment. They said so much to each other without saying a word.
Yep. Good stuff.
Literally tender. That dry socket's not something you want to mess with.
No.
Scott V said, I have a couple thoughts on the Paige situation. First of all, could Philip and Elizabeth bring her in by lying to her? By that, I mean tell her that they are U.S. government agents tasked with keeping tabs on other government agents. This seems to be a common M.O. for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Martha believes. They could train her and then not worry about ideologies. Also, what is the level the center is after? I mean, they don't want Paige as a field agent like her parents, right? They want her in a high-level job to have access to information, not to have to coerce others into getting that information. So they wouldn't necessarily have to train her on how to make dead bodies fit in suitcases 101. Now, I agree with Philip. It would come to that situation, or it could come to that situation, so I wouldn't want my daughter in this life either, but I kind of expect a discussion of grooming her with false information. Here's what my problem that I've kind of realized as I was watching this and thinking about it. I don't think that that Philip trusts the center to leave it alone that Elizabeth is just doing her CIA desk job and getting information that way. Like, if there was a need pressing enough, and there always is, she needed to get her hands dirty, they would give the order. And what I thought is key that Philip says, like, Paige is too much like her mom. And if you gave her that, she would do it, and she would do it gladly. And that's what I think is really worrying about him, that she won't stop at just a desk job. She'll want to do more and more and more of her own free will. I mean, look at Philip and Elizabeth themselves. Yeah. They were specifically ordered, do not make clothes in the visual range of this guy. It's too hot. And they fucking do it anyway.
Yeah. No, I've said, you know, last episode, I'm on Philip's side here. I think it's a bad idea.
Yeah. Scott continues, if I scroll back.
But I think, you know, to go to his point, I think it's a fairly good idea if they're going to do it to lie to her. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else you break to your daughter that you are, in fact, Russian spies and she needs to work against the country that she has grown up in.
Well, that's what he says in the next part. He goes, this seems to be a discussion that should have happened when Paige was 5 or 6 years old. I don't know about that. Hmm. Shouldn't the center have a plan for the second generation? I get the Philip and Elizabeth letting kids grow up in a stereotypical American house as part of the cover. Hell, having kids was part of the cover. The center would want this. So shouldn't any conditioning begin when they are young? Now, conditioning sounds kind of icky when you're talking about your own kids. We all try to give our values and beliefs to our children, which is a form of conditioning. But I think that that is more natural. Elizabeth is already conditioned her kids to an American way of life. She made the decision to fill them with beliefs she absolutely agrees with to help recover. What's the difference between that and grooming her with Russian psychological conditioning when Paige is little? The problem with a 5 or 6 year old is they cannot be trusted. Like,
it's true.
You give a child secret information. Like, just if you want to experiment, tell your a 5-year-old that there really isn't a Santa Claus, and see if they do not tell that to all of their cousins and brothers and sisters and schoolmates. Like, you can trust that information with like a 10-year-old, but 5 or 6 year old, I don't know. And then the reasons you can trust it with the 10 or 11 year old, because they can start judging their impacts on other people and they can be more, you know, on the ball about confidentiality, is the same reason it's risky to tell them, because they can start making their own decisions about what's right and wrong and, you know, how comfortable they are with lying. And that's kind of risky too. Mm-hmm. There's really no right time to start indoctrinating a child into a life of espionage against their own country.
Sure. Sure. The stakes are pretty high there to entrust that information to a child. Certainly.
He says it seems to him that Henry is the right age to start grooming in either direction. He's young enough not to want to rebel yet and would swallow whatever his parents told him. Plus, they know he's good at breaking and entering. Lastly, shouldn't Philip and Elizabeth be... Oh, they can use Mrs. Beeman as leverage.
There you go.
Lastly, shouldn't Philip and Elizabeth be worried about the center's long game? So, say you're the center. You have 2 very good deep cover field agents entrenched in the U.S. You let them have kids... Let them train these kids to work for you. So far, so good. But your field agents weren't just put there to breed and indoctrinate their kids to your way of thinking. You could also have them going on dangerous spying missions that could get them killed. Or you could get them captured and revealed as spies. That's where you should care. If your long-term game are these second generations that are born here and are above reproach, what could jeopardize that? Their parents. Somewhere there is a paper trail of forged documents on Philip and Elizabeth. At the very least, they would have to stop being field agents. You sure as hell can't have them retire in Russia. You are the center. You're really going to let these two keep breathing and jeopardize your second generations? No. When someone asked Paige about her parents, you wanted to say they were killed years ago in a tragic car accident. Philip and Elizabeth become the weakest link in second generation infiltration. I'd like to see one of them figure this out. What do you think about that?
So they should be afraid for their lives. If they indoctrinate Paige.
That seems like a pretty logical course of action to take.
I suppose so, yeah.
And if it goes down that, would you say that, I forget what the guy's name is in season 1 that died and he had the woman, he had his wife that was ignorant and they had a very small child. And instead of taking them both to Russia, they just killed the mom and kept the child.
Yeah.
Like, that could be considered very long-range foreshadowing of this possibility. The parents are disposable to a certain extent.
Yeah, might be right. They should be thinking about that.
Josiah H. said that he saw some people consider it a plot hole that Elizabeth can't somehow get to a Soviet dentist, even though they brought her a doctor when she first got shot at the end of season 1. But it doesn't bother me. First off, you could make the case that it just isn't worth the risk for something like that. But more than that, there's no evidence that the Russians know what she's dealing with. Do you agree? Because to me, that is a plot hole.
That they brought in a doctor before and they can't do it now?
You can't find someone to pull a fucking tooth and some sort of... You can't give Novocaine? Like, I'm not saying that dentistry is easy. It's not. But pulling a tooth has been something people have been doing for thousands of years. And it seemed a little strained that Philip and Elizabeth had to resort to pliers in the laundry room.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, especially, you know, when they're out meeting with Gabriel every day, it seems like. Yeah, I would think there would be a way to get some treatment for her.
Josiah says, regardless, if it leads to more scenes like the teeth pulling, they can stretch as much logic as they want. Like most sane people, I had to watch this with my hands mostly covering my eyes. But this is a step up from an already fantastic show, something they've been building to since the beginning. And it's only made better as a gut punch of a denouement to the badass slow car chase. The relief of not getting caught is huge, but the follow-up is a reminder that they will never truly be at ease or off the clock, and that this life they've chosen will never let up until they're dead. Even defecting would lead them to a constant sense of threat. A normal life is not in the cards for them. That's why I'm liking the arguments over Paige's future and seeing it play out. As viewers, yes, a show dragging its feet is a legitimate worry, but I don't think that's what's going on here. This is a legitimately big deal that the Carter to center is smart enough to anticipate that will take some time for their agents to warm up to. Whether Philip will is the question. He's about his work, but he's treating it like a real job, albeit one with a lot of snapped limbs. All he seems to care about is his family. And Elizabeth is coming around too, telling Hans that she wants to protect what she has with Philip. We forgot to talk about that on the show too, the fact that Elizabeth pumped the brakes with Hans, which is something I talked about in the preview cast, of something I see that there's this asymmetrical approach to sexuality now, where Philip is the one that's getting put in all these compromising situations, and he and both Elizabeth are trying to avoid the same for her. What's up with that?
Philip seems a little jealous, honestly. Philip seems jealous to me. He's like,
well, why is Elizabeth? Well,
you and Hans are getting a little too close, huh?
Why is Elizabeth with that? And why did Philip throw that into her face about, like, well, why aren't you fucking Hans? Isn't that an important part of your job? I'm not sure I get where they're going with that.
I think, actually, I thought that was a question.
Like a straightforward question. You didn't think that was put forth as a barb?
No.
Because it's in the context of their fight.
It is, okay. but it's also him trying to find out whether she actually is.
Oh, you think he assumed that she was fucking Hans?
I think he might have been, jealous, and because he thought she was, and so he throws it out there. He's kind of surprised when she's not, and then throws it out there as like, oh, well, you're supposed to. It's your job, and I don't know. He gets very huffy in those moments, and I can't help but, note the jealousy in his voice.
Well, Josiah has a... I'll describe as a crazy theory, but one that has a lot of potential. This makes the tooth pulling scene so devastating because it comes at a time when Philip and Elizabeth have such a deep trust in each other, a trust deeper than most marriages. And though they still both resort to distance when they're in disagreement, they're in love now, which they weren't when we first met them, and that changes everything. All of which leads me to believe that eventually they'll both move to protect Paige from the life that they have committed to. But to convince the center, they'll need to find a replacement. And wouldn't a foster child be an ideal candidate? Clark's annoyance at Martha's badgering him about the children seems to break for a moment, and then a glint in his eye indicates something. Maybe I'm reaching, but I think there's more to this idea than simply Clark and Martha not seeing eye to eye.
So you off Martha after you get a foster kid, and what? Like, I'm not seeing how does a foster kid get involved in any scenario where he can get info?
I don't know that I agree with his take on this, but is there some, because this did seem to appeal on some level to Philip. Is there some angle in which Paige and or Henry could be placed as his foster child with this sham marriage that would somehow insulate kids from the center?
Maybe, or potentially they could train Paige through that relationship.
That's the other thing I was going for. It's like if he warmed up to it, then she could be his foster child in this relationship. Then somehow
his real Paige, child in the other, and
yeah.
Oh god, that would get weird.
So you've got this like really third level. I mean, like I said, that seems ridiculous on the face of it. But there's something to this foster children
set up correctly. I don't think that would be absurd. I think they could weave the story that direction and make that work for me.
Okay. Well, that's all the feedback I've got. Do you got anything else to say?
Nope, that's it.
All right. If you'd like to send us more, you can do so at americans@baldmove.com or get on our forums at forums.baldmove.com. And our weekly show threads on facebook.com/baldmove. And you can tweet at Jim @baldmove. guess what? All that stuff is in the show notes in case I stuttered, stumbled, or you didn't write it down. And that's it.
Yeah.
We'll be back for episode 4 next week.
Sure. Yeah. Until then, I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron. See ya.